Live from Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios, I am Jim Rome. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. Nice to have you here. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, check out the squatter, James Kelly, front and center. XR4TI crew if you need him. I can't believe New York is fawning him, the squatter. All right, nice to have you here. Let's get it. Friday, finally a Friday, and I want to make sure we have a good show. I've done my job. The XR4TI has done its job. Now you do your job. Going to the weekend strong. If you ever do it like this, if you have that good, strong workout on a Friday afternoon, it makes everything better. You have that workout on a Friday afternoon, that beer, that cocktail, that dinner, everything tastes a little bit sweeter. Start your day earlier. Don't wait for the workout. Hit the jungle the same way. If you hit the jungle hard and you do your job and you leave it all out there, it sets up the rest of the day. We're all going to have a much better Friday night and a weekend if you step up and you do your job. You know I'm going to do my job. You know the XR4TI is going to do its job. Now do your job, clones. Step it up. What do I mean by that? Pick up the phone, lob me a phone call. Make it a good call. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Check out our Facebook page, my Instagram page, all the platforms. Let's get this thing done. The show sets up like this on a Friday. Coming up in 15 minutes, the head football coach at Texas, Tom Herman, makes a jungle return. Top of hour number two, Jacksonville Jaguar cornerback Jalen Ramsey back in. And also in hour number two, Tennessee Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard. Got the week that was from Alvey. We're talking NHL. We're talking NBA. I've got some Major League Baseball. I'll go off the card for a few more things. The ATP. It's going to be a good Friday. In the meantime, I'm going to hit you one more time with this. Step it up. I'm looking for a good telephone call to set this whole thing up. 1-800-636-8686. Where to start on a Friday? Got to start with the NHL. Hockey. Why? Because there's nothing better than a Game 7. Nothing better than Game 7, especially in the NHL. Everything on the line for 60 minutes of end-to-end action. Great goals, amazing saves, guys laying it all on the line, a crowd that is going ballistic the entire night. And if you're really lucky, you might get overtime. That's the best thing ever. Except last night was pretty much none of those things. Last night was not the best. Last night was actually pretty horrible by Game 7 standards because the Winnipeg Jets rolled into Smashville and dominated. That game was nothing like all those things I just laid out. Sheryl Crow sings the national anthem. Eddie George waves a towel. Then Pekka Rinne waved a white flag. All right, maybe that's a little harsh. Then again, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not harsh enough. 8:40 into the first period, this happened.
Push from behind, drop the puck off. Here comes Myers, centering side of the net. They score! Rinne in disbelief can't believe that the puck is behind him, and the Winnipeg Jets have scored the first goal of game number 7.
Well, the reaction is just such an odd one from Rinne. Didn't know where the heck that one was. From a really bad angle with traffic in front, where does it go? Oh, man, wow. How did that get through?
Yeah, how did that get through? Rinne was in disbelief. The entire world was in disbelief. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's the softest playoff goal I've ever seen allowed, and especially damaging since I also said yesterday, whoever scores first is going to win that game. But that was the softest playoff goal I've ever seen allowed. Rinne allowed maybe the softest goal in playoff history. That was a disastrous start for the Preds. I mean, that's exactly the kind of goal that you cannot give up in a Game 7. And if it was insane to see Rinne, a Vezina Trophy finalist, concede one like that, then it would be truly stunning to see him do it again. And there's no way that would happen, except it did.
By Tanev. Another change, the Stastny line coming on. Stastny, backhander, scores! Another sharp angle goal, and Paul Stastny has made it 2-0 Winnipeg.
Oh, what a nightmarish start for the home team here. But Paul Stastny ended the night for Pekka Rinne. Amazingly, 9:13 left in the first period, and Rinne is gone for the third time in this series.
Right. That ended his night. Rene's night was done. And then Nashville's was done. The team, the fans, the season. Down 2-0. Preds head coach Peter Laviolette yanked the legend from the game to get a quick breather for his team without having to use a timeout. And then to get some life in the group. And frankly, to get Pekka the hell out of that game. Conceding one soft goal is a problem. Two is a nightmare. And being on the wrong end of the fastest hook in Game 7 history is the absolute worst. It was worse than awful. I'll tell you how bad it was. Winnipeg goalie Connor Hellebuck said, quote, it was heartbreaking. I mean, that tells you something, right? When the opposing goalie is heartbroken watching you get pulled from a game. That's heartbreaking. Rene himself said, quote, the biggest moment of the season, it's a terrible feeling. You let your teammates down, and that's what happened tonight. That's tough to swallow. I mean, you remember right after that went down, he went into the tunnel, and he was just sitting there in the corner, in the tunnel, in the darkness, still in his pads. I mean, it was a sad, sad look. You better go check. I think my man's still there. I mean, for all the talk about Rene potentially being too old, he didn't look it. He didn't look it until the worst possible moment. And then he looked really old and really slow. Maybe it was bad luck. Maybe it was a lack of focus. But then again, maybe he's a shot fighter. You know, the former champ who steps between the ropes one night and suddenly has lost it all. Suddenly, the guy can't pull the trigger. He can't land any shots. He can't slip any punches either. A guy who's shot. A shot fighter. That's Rene. I mean, I'd love to say it was only one bad night. Just one really bad night. But the guy was pulled three times in the series. And as far as it being just one bad night, all right, fine, fine. One bad night. Just as long as you say that bad night was the worst night ever. Because it was. No goalie in the history of the NHL has ever gotten a quicker hook in a Game 7 than he did last night. That's how bad a night that was. The worst night ever for a goalie. In one of the most important games of his and all of their lives, that was the worst night ever. Meanwhile, the Jets, they had it. They were feeling it. They were causing problems. And they were making themselves right at home in one of the toughest barns in the league. Down 2-0, that arena was shocked. I mean, it was shell-shocked. Hell, I was shocked. And I say that as somebody. Now, you listen very closely right now. It's important that you hear this. I was shocked, and I say that as somebody who never, ever bought into Nashville. But more on that in a second. The Preds were simply sleepwalking through that first period. That is, until P.K. Subban got a look with just over 4 minutes to go.
Ryan Johansson back out for a Subban pass. He scores!
Sometimes when you're watching hockey, you take the passing for granted. This puck is right in the wheelhouse. I don't want to say a no-look backhand pass by Johansson. He knows exactly where P.K. Subban is. He puts it on a table, and Subban just fires it off the post and in.
All right, 2-1 Winnipeg, right? We got a game. We have ourselves a game. Actually, no, we don't. Because Winnipeg went up 3-1 at the 17:50 mark of the second. And then it was over because Nashville was not going to score on Connor Hellebuck last night. My man might look like Henry Thomas, but he was playing like Patrick Waugh. They attack on a fourth, an empty netter in the third. The final score is 5-1. Winnipeg winning in Nashville. But don't be surprised, because I'm not. The Jets won 3 out of 4 in Nashville in this series. And they won by huge margins. They did not fluke their way to this win. They earned it. They deserved it. They were the better team, as I said all along. Now the Jets are hosting Vegas in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. So how pumped are you, Winnipeg? React to me, Winnipeg. I want to hear from Swan River. Selkirk. Winkler. How are you celebrating? Thompson. Mystery Lake. Unorganized Division. Number 22. Are you throwing on your Dale Hawerchuk and Thomas Steen sweaters? Flin Flon. Are you partying at Whitney Forum? React to me. You're close, Winnipeg. And you are awesome, and I knew it. What's up, Winnipeg? Let's talk about it. 1-800-636-8686. And I'll get to Nashville again in a minute. I've got more thoughts on Nashville and why I knew this was going to happen. 1-800-636-8686. In addition to all of that, talk some hockey, we'll talk some basketball, and we will talk some golf. How about the big three? The big three yesterday at the Players' Championship. That couldn't have been any more disappointing than it was. I'm looking at you, Hefty. I'm looking at you, Eldrick. I'm looking at you, Rick. I'm looking at you, A-Rod. A-Rod, baggy as he ever was. Let's see. This email says, hey, Jim, I hope Javier's serves crow burritos because you're going to have to eat a lot of it. Go, Jets, go. Ryan in Canada. What the hell are you talking about, Ryan? What are you talking about, Ryan? Who the hell are you, Ryan? Listen, if Javier served a crow burrito, I would eat it because I eat anything he serves. But why are you insinuating that I need to eat crow?
Eat it, Hud.
Let's see. Van Smack. You did it again, my man. The popular pick was the Preds, but you went with your gut and you took the Jets to win. Bravo. Bravo. Signed Mike in Buffalo. Level-headed backyard games player. Unwar coworkers who start asking you work-related questions before you can even sit down at your desk. Hey, Rhonda, get! Unwar women named Rhonda. My man, Mike, well done. Exactly. Hey, Rhonda, do you mind if the guy actually sits down before you're up in his grill hammering him? And again, I don't want to sit here and take credit for being right again. I'm not like that. I'm not wired for it. I'm a humble man. You all know that. Dear Jim, as lifelong residents of Winnipeg, Manitoba, we are absolutely thrilled to see our team advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Signed, Rabid Beavers. Flannel car seats. Summer vacation igloos. Ann Murray 8-track tapes. And maple syrup flavored toothpaste. Signed, Denlesks. Real North American. Unwar Matt in Vancouver. And Tyler in Edmonton, emulating Kyle in Green Bay by embarking on a cross-country meet-a-clone tour on a sled pulled by 17 Siberian Huskies. Denlesks, well done. I know you've never heard me say that before, Denlesks. So what I'm going to do with your email, Denlesks, is put it off to the side here on my pristine white desk and save that for later viewing. Well done, Denlesks. That's how it's setting up. It's Friday. We always have fun. We have fun every single day here, but especially on a Friday. So get up in here. Make a difference. Elevate the conversation. Don't get run. Maybe even rip a golden ticket. It is smack-off season. Texas head football coach Tom Herman joins me in 5 minutes. So I'm going to get out for that. Jalen Ramsey next hour. Well, it's obviously, if you heard my show open, you know I had a good night. Slept well. Woke up. Felt great. Not all of you. I've already read some of your emails. I know that a lot of you did not sleep well, probably because you snore or your partner snores. I'm not one to point out a problem and then not suggest a corresponding solution. The solution, the revolutionary Zepa. Zepa is a game changer. If you snore, you are not sleeping. If you are not sleeping, you are not succeeding. You want to succeed, right? You want to put food on the table, right? Zepa is the solution. It'll help you get that great night of sleep that you need so you can wake up in the morning feeling awesome. And then you can get at it, up and at them. Zepa, the only snoring solution of its kind. If you snore, you've got to get one. If you want to get one, go to ZYPPAH.com. Zepa is very easy to remember. It is simply happy Z spelled backwards. Zepa, tell everybody you know who needs one to get a Zepa. Remember, ZYPPAH. That's ZYPPAH. Zepa. Get the great night of sleep that you both need and deserve with a Zepa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Tremendous Friday to you. I'm Jim Rome. Tremendous because I've got some good interviews, great takes, rants, content. Jaguar cornerback Jalen Ramsey, top of the hour. Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard coming up next hour. But as promised, we're joined now by the head football coach at Texas. He's entering his second season with the Longhorns. He is a Broyles Award winner, the American Athletic Conference co-coach of the year. Incredibly, a former Subway sandwich artist and subcontractor. He led Texas to their first winning season since 2013. The Longhorns open up against Maryland on September 1st. Texas head coach Tom Herman is my guest. Tom, it is great to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing great, Romy. Appreciate you having me back.
Tom, it's great to have you back. Thanks so much. You know, I had Mike Gundy on yesterday, and we were talking about how he's spending some of his time away from the practice field. He talked about he trains dogs, he works on a farm, so on and so on. So let me ask you, Tom, how is life for you right about now?
Well, I've got a 14-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old son, and a 4-year-old son. So I wish I had that kind of time, but my time away from the practice field and not on the road recruit, usually spent with them. My 10-year-old got knocked out of the playoffs in baseball last night, so that was a good dad moment to kind of coach your kid on how to deal with getting beat in the playoffs. And actually last week or earlier this week with our athletic director raising some money for a new south end zone facility for our football team, and we raised $27 million in 2 days. So it's a pretty good week.
I'd say that's a pretty good week, $27 million in 2 days. You go back to your son for a minute. Tom, was that kind of gut-wrenching for you as a father to watch that? And in terms of the teaching moment, what did you tell him?
Yeah, it was, Romy. I mean, anybody that's been a parent and had kids, you know, they won the regular season championship. So that was his first time being on an organized team that he'd won a championship. He was really fired up about it. And, you know, it was a little bit tougher for him, too, because he struck out to end the game with his team down in the bottom of the sixth inning. So he was pretty shook up. And, you know, I just told him, hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of moments in your athletic endeavors that you're going to come up short. And the only way that we know how to overcome that is to work harder. And so we vowed that we were going to work really hard this off season and to make sure that if that situation ever comes up again, that he's not going to strike out and he's going to get on base and keep the inning alive.
Tom Herman joining us as a father. I think we've all been there with kids in those moments, so I had to ask you about that. I'm glad to get your thoughts. Hey, listen, my sources tell me you are in the process, however, of overhauling your physique these days. Is it true, and how's that going?
I recommitted myself after signing day to working out. Last year was pretty stressful for me, and you know, I probably could have handled that stress a little bit better had I been working out and, you know, taking an hour a day to take care of my body. So I did, you know, since February, I think I've gone 9 or 10 straight weeks here with at least 4 workouts within the week, and I feel good. I haven't lost a lot of weight, which is okay. I've just kind of reproportioned it and reshaped it and feel pretty good.
I like it. Tom Herman joining us. All right, Tom, 1 year in, what do you know about this job maybe that you didn't know when you first took that job?
Well, I know that this...
Let me pick you up real quick. Pick that up, Adam. Texas head coach Tom Herman joining us, trying to get that clean connection, that clean line. I don't know about you, but like I said, as parents who have kids, sons and daughters who play sports, and you have those moments, I was really curious to see like what a high-level, big-time coach would say to his son who had that same moment that we've all had as parents. What do you tell your kid when you not only don't win that game, but maybe your child is the one to strike out to end that game? We've all been there. We all know. So we're talking Texas football. They open up their season against Maryland on September 1st. He led them to their first winning season since 2013. They wrapped up last year with a bowl win. And we'll talk Longhorn football. I want to reestablish that connection. Get a guy like that, you want to make sure it's as clean as possible. Meantime, you know where to find me, clones. We're back at it. Tom, sorry about that. So you were talking about something that maybe you may have known or may know now that you didn't know when you first got in.
Yeah, I think, Romy, just how fragile this team was when we took over. You know, 3 straight losing seasons will do that to you. But I think we did you know, kind of have a seminal moment in the bowl victory. You know, we were out by my count eight guys that had started games for us. So out of 22, 11 on each side of the ball, to have eight starters down and to go play an SEC team that had won six straight games and beat them the way that we did. I think there was a bit of an aha moment, you know, in that locker room, where I think a lot of those kids said, "Hey, we can do this, and if we do what this crazy guy and his staff tell us to do, then we can accomplish some pretty incredible things." And we've had a tremendous offseason. These guys have busted their tails. They're bought in like nobody's business, and I'm really excited to coach this team.
You know, I understand, Tom, when you talk about how fragile that team was when you got there, but the fact of the matter is, in their defense, in your defense, there were times when you had a true freshman at quarterback, a true freshman at running back, one at tight end, one at right tackle. Obviously, that is not ideal from a coaching standpoint, but what do you make of how those guys responded to those challenges?
Yeah, that's not an ideal situation to you know, light the scoreboard on fire. But the best thing about true freshmen in college football is they become sophomores, and they got a lot of experience. They were thrown into the fire, and they learned a lot of valuable lessons. And they've developed. They've taken that challenge. I mean, that right tackle we're talking about, Derek Kerstetter, he wasn't even shaving, and not because he was trying to grow a beard. It was because he didn't need to shave. I mean, he was literally that youthful, if you will. And so those guys are bigger, stronger, faster now that they've developed as football players. They've had really good springs. And so we're excited to see that development, you know, kind of come to fruition in the fall.
Texas head football coach Tom Herman joining us. You know, when you undertake an overhaul like that, you talk about a buy-in. So what are the signs that players are starting to buy in? How do you know that what you're selling them or what you're trying to teach them, the message you're trying to get across, is in fact getting across?
Well, I think, you know, there was another moment. I meet with, I like to tell this story. I meet with about 12 or 15 leaders probably once a week, once every 10 days. And I was asking them early in the semester, you know, "Hey, how's the locker room, coach? It's great. Everybody, we're a lot closer as a team. We're having fun together. We're working our tails off." And I said, "Well, what's different?" And one kid real quickly said, "We're happy." You know, and it was almost accusatory. And so I had to explain to him, I said, and I ran down the list of all the different things where Coach Sherman and our staff, where we had to reinforce our culture just within that last week, whether it be a guy not finishing a drill and getting reminded very firmly that we finished drills around here, starting an up, down, over because a guy didn't hit his chest, so on. And so, you know, a guy being 5 minutes late for a tutor and his whole position group having to run. And I said, so the standards have never changed and will not change. But you're hearing Coach Herman and Coach Herman's staff, we're not yelling as much. We're not having to reinforce the culture so much. So, but when we do, it's the same. And so if the standards haven't changed and Coach Herman hasn't changed, then what's changed? And you saw the kind of the gears turning and the light bulbs go off, and they're like, "Well, we've changed."
Right.
You know, and that was kind of a fun moment to see, like, yeah, you know, you guys are reaching these standards of excellence at such a higher clip in all of our workouts and drills and practices that it is. It's fun to be around these guys, and everybody's pretty happy.
Tom Herman, my guest. So one last thought. It's starting to take shape, and these guys are starting to get it and buy in. You and Mack Brown were in Dallas recently celebrating Ricky Williams being inaugurated into the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame. He has been around the program a lot more since you took over. What does he mean to you as a person, and how much do you enjoy it when he's on the campus or on the practice field with your guys?
Yeah, I mean, he gave me my start. You know, I was a graduate assistant for Coach Brown back in 1999 and 2000. And, you know, I was breaking down film, running the scout team, and I learned so much in those 2 years with him. And to have him around, I consider him a mentor. I've stayed in touch with him my entire career, and to have him around is a tremendous sounding board, because he's 16 years at the University of Texas, 10 straight years with 10 wins or more, a national championship, College Football Hall of Fame, you name it. The man has done it, and he's done it at Texas. And so if something comes up and I need advice with, he's the first person I call.
What about Ricky Williams? What's it like having him around?
Oh, he's great. You know, one of my earliest memories as a GA, they threw me on the back of a float. I was about a week on the job. They threw me on the back of a float in a parade in the Cotton Bowl victory and Ricky winning the Heisman. And I was right behind Ricky Williams, and they said, don't let anybody touch him. I said, oh, my gosh, okay. So Ricky Williams actually is the first person that taught me the hook'em horn sign. So it's great to have him back. He's had a great career and tremendous ambassador for the University of Texas.
Texas coming off their first winning season since 2013 and a good bowl game as well. Their head coach, Tom Herman, my guest. They open up against Maryland on September 1st. Tom, great to have you back. Always appreciate you and the visit. Thanks so much. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, Romy. Hook'em horns.
Hook'em horns. Tom Herman, my guest. Nicely done, coach. Thank you very much. All right. We will break. When we return, I've got an open segment. I want to talk some more hockey to get you to the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, Jalen Ramsey. Also next hour, Wesley Woodyard. Alvy's week that was in hour number 3. Man, I'm looking for somebody to just set this thing off. Somebody to pick up the phone, make their mark, plant their flag, just to get everybody to look at you like, that guy's got game. Is there anybody like that out there? Somebody. You have your number. Use it. Right now, I got a sports update for you. Busy, busy Friday morning. Here is the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If it is the Jim Rome Show, and it's a Friday, then it's an ATP day. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there and listen later on. I might answer one of yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know how I know that Tom Herman is doing a good job? You know how I know he's on the right track? You know how I know he's going to turn this thing around? Because as soon as I put him on, Sooner fans start losing their bleep on Twitter. That's how I know he's doing a good job. As a sampling, check out some of these tweets. Scott Badberg tweets, sorry at Jim Rome. As a hashtag, Boomer Sooner fan, I can't listen to your show for this segment. Hashtag Sooners. Hashtag horns down. Jabriel Reed tweets a picture of a Boomer Sooner. As Sooner fans, you ought to be nervous. You ought to be nervous because although you've got an amazing coach, you've got a great coach. I love your coach. Tom Herman is a great coach. He's building something. He's got them turned and headed in the right direction. You should be nervous. And the fact that you're going on Twitter about that, how you've got to turn that segment off, and how you're posting pictures of Boomer Sooner, you're going with hashtag horns down, knows. That leads me to know or believe that you know this guy's got this thing going the right way for them. I mean, something I didn't even put into this. This guy's developed a program, Forever Texas, where he brings in experts to the players to talk about personal promotion, finances, NFL career management, life after football, fashion. This guy's got a very broad view of the entire thing. He's making them better football players. He's making them better people. He's building this thing top to bottom. You should be nervous. You should be concerned. They made the right hire. They've got the right guy leading that program. And I know you know that because the second I put him on, you go right to your phone. So that's one of the issues this hour. The other issue, and this guy nails it, this is an email, Rome. It appears on Twitter there is some controversy as to your pick on the Winnipeg-Nashville series. I know it's petty, but can Lil Alvy roll the tape? Thanks, Mike R. in Toronto. I'll get there eventually. This guy writes, Rome, you have freaking done it again. Everybody and their brother was picking the Preds to win this year. It was the cool thing to do. But you never bought into the hype. You steered completely clear of that train wreck. Absolutely unreal. Tyler in Charlotte. Ty, thanks. Appreciate that. Don't need to hear that from you, but thank you very much. This email, Rome, you're freaking awesome. I cannot believe that you nailed your NHL prediction yet again. Just when I think that you're finally going to get burned, here you are again making a miraculous comeback. Picking the Preds to not win the Stanley Cup this year is amazing, especially with how good they looked coming into the year. Can you please tell me once again to buy Bitcoin? Because you just can't miss. Matt in Poland Springs. He's onto something. He's got a point there. So let's get into this. I didn't want to make it about me. I didn't want to take a victory lap. I didn't want to pat myself on the back. But since there is this controversy and this seemingly disagreement and non-consensus as to what I said, what I did, I have no idea how there's anything lost in the translation. But let's be very clear about this. Let's take a step back for a moment. Let's reflect on this for a moment. Now, you know, it takes a very big man to admit when he's wrong. A big man to say he messed up. I would like to think that part of the reason why you like this show, part of the reason why you listen to this show, is because you know you're going to get the real, the truth from me. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to be accountable. If I make a mistake, I'll own it. Always have, always will. Why? Because I hold everybody else to that standard. How can I sit here in this box for 30 years and hold everybody else to that standard, but not myself? I would never do that. That's not what I'm about. The sign of real maturity is when you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm not perfect, because that's the truth. I'm not perfect. Nobody is, especially when it comes to predictions. Especially when it comes to hockey predictions, which is why I want to take this opportunity to say to you listening, to look into the camera if you're watching, and I want to take this opportunity to own this. I want to take this opportunity to apologize. To apologize to absolutely nobody at all.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Because I have absolutely nothing to apologize for. Not only do I have nothing to apologize for, but I hate to say I told you so, Nashville honks. But, well, I told you so. And yes, I should be the bigger man here. And yes, I should just console Preds fans in their honor of need and grief. But I told you. This was going to happen. I called my shot before the playoffs started, and while I'm not going to claim to be the amazing Kreskin and say that I knew Nashville was going to choke at home in Game 7 of the second round, I knew this. I knew they were not going to win a Stanley Cup. Not this year. That was for damn sure. And yes, I knew all the arguments, starting with the fact that they were President's Trophy winners. Yeah, right. Because nothing guarantees a Stanley Cup like winning a President's Trophy. Oh, and then there's the one that they were so solid between the pipes. Only a dope would think that Pekka Rinne was better this year when he was only a year older. And that was clearly demonstrated last night. Don't get me wrong. He was a great goalie. But I'm starting to lean more and more on the past tense there. Was. And in this series, when he was good, he was very good. And when he was bad, he was terrible. Gave up 3 goals in Game 1 before being pulled. Staked to a 3-0 lead in Game 3. Promptly allows 5 goals. And then a half a dozen in Game 5. And don't get me wrong. I'm not here to crush Nashville. I love Philip Forsberg. He was electric. He provided 3 truly legendary goals in this year's playoffs. But when I look at that roster... When I looked at that roster, I didn't see the depth that everybody else seemed to see. While everybody else was saying that they were the best team from top to bottom, that they were loaded up front, that they had monsters back on the blue line, that they had a wizard between the pipes, you know what I saw? You know what I saw? I saw a paper tiger. So for all those losers who were claiming that Nashville was the team to beat this year, when they looked at that roster and they saw the shortcomings, what did they do? Man, they started reaching for straws. That's what they did, grasping at intangibles. You know, like this notion of they had unfinished business or they had scar tissue. What is that? That's the argument of somebody who doesn't have an argument. Unfinished business. Do you know how hard it is to go all the way, climb up just short, and then try to get to the top of that mountain again? And for you non-hockey fans, let me put it to you this way. How many NFL teams lose the Super Bowl and then come right back to win it next year? No, better yet, how many NFL teams lose the Super Bowl and then flat out miss the playoffs the next year? Yes, they had been there and done that. But what they had done was lose on the biggest stage. That's not an accomplishment. That's a disappointment, no matter what seed you were going into last year's playoffs. Why would I pick somebody like that? I wouldn't, obviously. Oh, and here's another thing. Last year was last year. If you were basing your predictions off some combination of what last year's team did in the playoffs and what this year's team did in the regular season, that's bad math. It doesn't add up. Not for me, not even close. And how about those dopes? Those dopes who claimed that, well, they had scar tissue. That would help them get over the hump. If scar tissue from losing mattered, the Cleveland Browns would be stacking Lombardis. So you all can miss me with that idea that Winnipeg beating Nashville is some huge upset because Nashville was so good. Yet whatever. They didn't impress me this year, and I certainly was not going to be picking them to win the whole thing. You got to be a hell of a lot deeper. You have to be a lot more explosive, and you've got to be a lot tougher mentally and physically if you want Vance Max pick. You're welcome. And for those of you still shaking your head, you want proof. You want a true demonstration that this is not revisionist history. All right, fine. You want that? You got that. Alvin, play my prediction, please, from the start of the playoffs. With great power comes great responsibility. Every year, the Cup demands as much. So much to like. So many great story angles. So many teams that have a legitimate look at this. However, there is one thing that I like even more. The one team I like even more. The team I like best. The Winnipeg Jets. I like Jets, mate.
We see Jets, mate.
And round two, the Preds will be taken to the woodshed by Winnipeg. 4-3. Because Nashville has got no business having a hockey team. They turned a country music city into a two-star catfish town. Worse than Cleveland. You see, this year is different. This group is different. And by different, I mean worse. Pekka Rinne should be benched and far away from the pipes. This is about Connor Hellebuck owning Nashville. Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson. These guys are crappy. We know that. PK, so bad. You are so bad. No team has worse depth at center ice or suck on the blue line. David Poile built a brutal diarrhea mess. Head coach Peter Laviolette. He's got these guys saying 1, 2, 3, Cancun. It's not Smashville's year. This time it is going to be Winnipeg. The butthurt Preds have been there, they've done that, and now they're coming home with freaking nothing. Write it down now, thank me later. Because, while I've been wrong about many, many things, picking the eventual round two winner is not one of them. So, congratulations, Winnipeg Jets, and most importantly, Jim Rome. There. There. Are you satisfied? I know I am. It's hard work being right about the NHL every year. It's hard. It's really hard. So is this a blessing or is it a curse? Yes, heavy is the head that wears the crown. But I wear it so well. And frankly, no, I don't get tired of being right. I do get tired of you coming at me and hating on me and trying to prove that I'm wrong. Why would you do it? Man, tip your hat to the king. I have a gift. I am aware of this gift. I take it very seriously. So what are you talking about now? You've heard the tape. That's what I said prior to the playoffs. It's documented. It's on record. It's indisputable. You cannot refute that. There. You're welcome. Let's keep moving. 1-800-636-8686. I love hockey. I know hockey. Man, I know hockey, and I love hockey. When we return, Jalen Ramsey, Jacksonville Jaguar cornerback, joins me. Wesley Woodyard, Titans linebacker, also next hour. Third hour is open at this time. That could change. I want to talk some golf. I want to talk some basketball. I've got a lot more to get to. How about a golden ticket? Anybody want one? I've got a stack of them, a stack to the ceiling. Somebody come in. I would love to end this week by inviting somebody to our Smack Off. There's 1 hour, second hour coming right up. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere. It's getting better and better.